Daddy this morning on this cold morning. This is a great group. I feel like January, everybody's back, ready to get back into the groove, aren't we? Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. Pray with me this morning. Our Father, we just open our time this morning by settling our hearts and by directing our focus and our attention to you this morning. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to fill us this morning. We invite you to come and teach us and direct us. Would you take God's word and would you make it land on our hearts this morning? And would you help it to say very personal, intimate things, speak into our life that we might become women who are living their lives for you, who are living lives that count for your kingdom. Take your word this morning and stir up within us, Father, new levels of devotion to Jesus. And we just ask you to grow us in regards to our love for you and for your Son and for your ways. And so this morning, just speak very personally to us. Challenge us, exhort us, take your word and correct us and guide us. And so I pray for every family represented in this room today. I ask your blessing on them, Father. I thank you that they got up this morning, they made preparation to come to be in a place where your word was going to be preached and where your word was going to be taught. And so, Father, just meet with us. Help us, because we are very needy in our generation. And so we come this morning, and we just ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome back this morning to Sunday School. This morning we're going to have part two of Lesson 1. That was last Sunday morning. So if you weren't here, no worries. I'm going to do a review. But thank you for coming back. I hope you had a good week. I hope your new year is starting out well. And I hope as part of your New Year's resolution, you're saying, I'm going to be faithful to Sunday school. Just go ahead and put that nail, pound it in, and say, I'm going to come. I'm going to be in Sunday school. I'm going to come and study God's word, because God's word is powerful in our lives. Now this morning, we're going to start out with the verse that we started out with last week. And it comes out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. And that is a verse that was given by Paul to his young son in the faith, Timothy. Timothy was a timid person. He was, I'm convinced Timothy was a little analytical. Timothy was a little introverted. He wasn't very, he wasn't as outgoing, go-get-em kind of guy. I think he thought deeply. And he needed exhorting. How many of you need exhorting in your spiritual lives? Well, that's what we're doing this morning. We're letting God's word come and exhort us. And so Timothy is going to be exhorted by his father in the faith. And Paul is in prison in Rome when he's writing this letter. In fact, Paul is about to die. And he tells Timothy, my departure is near. I'm just about to depart this world. And Timothy is going to now take up the mantle that Paul is leaving. And so Timothy needs to be bold. Timothy needs to be exhorted. And so this is what comes in this verse to Timothy, and let's let it land on our hearts this morning. And here's what Paul says, I want you to do. I want you, Timothy, to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Now, I know I want to be godly. You know, I wonder what people say about me. Oh, you know Teresa Sohn, she's so blank. What I wish you could say is she's so godly. She's so much like Jesus. And Timothy, I want you to discipline yourself. It's going to take work. And so I want you to look with me as we begin this morning out of Philippians at two verses there. These are just two of my favorite verses. And they kind of seem to contradict each other, but not really, and we're going to talk about that. And so Paul is speaking here, and Paul is speaking to those who were living in Philippi, and he says, "So then, my beloved Christians in Philippi, you're a church that I started, and I love you, and I have something to say to you. Just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only," Paul says, "but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Now, if you just look at that verse, here's Paul. He's saying to them, "Now, I'm just telling you, you're such a good church. You're obedient. And you know, I even want you to be more obedient," he says. "And then just keep on working out your salvation. Just work out your salvation. Work it out in fear and trembling." Wait a minute, Teresa. Wait a minute. Do we work for our salvation? Do we? Salvation is a free gift. Well, what is it? Why is he saying, "Work it out. Work out your salvation"? And then he says this, and it sounds just like the opposite. "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So on one hand, he says, "Now you work hard, and you work it out, and you work out your salvation with fear and trembling." But then on the other hand, he says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Here's what happens at salvation. I really can do nothing to be saved, right? I know that all I have to offer to God is, the Bible says, like filthy rags. But when I come and I humble myself and I admit, "God, I'm a big fat mess. And I am just broken over it. And I can't see anything on my side of what I can do to save myself. I'm going to cast all of my life upon you and invite you to come in to my life and sit in the driver's seat of my life. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to accept your free gift of salvation." And that's when salvation begins, and the seed of the Holy Spirit comes in. And it's the seed of the Holy Spirit within that gives me the power to work it out. I can't work it out in my own strength. Neither can you. Have you ever, I remember before I was saved, I tried to be a Christian. I really admired Christians. I wanted to be like them. And I would make lists. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to be good like they are. I failed every time. And then I got saved. And the Holy Spirit came in. And he gave me the power to work it out. And I work it out carefully. I work it out with fear and with trembling, because I know my flesh is weak, and I know I can fail easily, and I know if I don't stay right centered in on God's word, I could fall. I could make a mess. And so Paul is telling them, "Now you work it out. You work hard. You do all your part." Here's what Paul is saying, and this is what I'm going to say this morning to you. Growing in godliness, you know what? It's going to take all your effort. It is going to take effort. There's going to be choices you have to make in your life. And yet, God is in you, and he's giving you the power to work it out. So what is it, Teresa? Is it me working it out, or is it God at work in me? Well, it's both. It's both. And I want to stir you up this morning to be a woman that's all about doing all she knows to do, all she can do, in order to grow in godliness. And a part of that is developing disciplines. And we started last week, and I told you, I think the most important discipline that we can develop in 2025 is the discipline to study and know and read and hear and meditate on and memorize God's Word. And so last week we started with just talking about God's Word, and we said there are five subtitles under one big subtitle, which is Bible intake. How are we going to get Bible in my life? Well, five ways. And the three we covered last week are, and I put them on your handout, hearing the Word. That's where you start. Reading the Word, and then studying the Word. Now, pretty good at all three of those, but today I'm going to tell you two more that I must confess to you that are a challenge for me, and they're two areas that I personally really want to grow in 2025, and I'm challenged this morning as I teach this lesson, because I'm really teaching it to myself. So let's learn together, and let's encourage each other as you and I are in this church together. And we're pursuing to grow in godliness. Well, many people read their Bible every morning. You probably do. You may have a devotional book that has a few verses. You may have a Bible reading plan where you're reading several chapters of the Bible every day. But here's what happens so often. You get up, you get your coffee, you get your Bible, you get your book, whatever you're doing, and you spend that time, and then you get up and your day gets going. I wonder if I were to call you and say, what did you read this morning? Can you tell me about it? You say, oh gosh, I forgot. Yeah, it was so good, but I forgot. Or, you know, I wasn't in church last Sunday. Did you hear Brother Greg's lesson? Sermon, tell me about it. Oh, that was the best sermon. But for the life of me, I can't remember what it was about. Well, I have an excuse. I say, oh, well, I'm old. I can't remember anything. That's my excuse. And then about 15 years ago, I had brain surgery, and that was my excuse then. I said, oh, I've had brain surgery. I can't remember anything. Or you might say, well, you know, I'm just not that smart. You know, it's hard for me to remember things. It's hard for me to really understand things. But really the reason we can't remember has nothing to do with our age, nothing to do with our mental ability, nothing to do with our training, but it has everything to do with our method. So what's the problem? Well, why does the Word just come in my ears, come through my eyes, and then go right out of my mind so quickly? And the problem is that hearing and reading by themselves usually aren't enough for us to remember what we have received. Now, I'm not going to poo-poo those things. I think hearing the Word, reading the Word, they're very valuable. They're irreplaceable in your life, but that's just the starting point. And this morning, we're going to, I want to introduce some other disciplines that are going to help us. I want to start with a quote out of the book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. Look at it on your handout. The author says this, while hearing and reading plant the seed of Scripture into the soil of our souls, other disciplines are the water and the sun God uses to bring the growth and the fruit of Christ-likeness in our lives. And that's going to bring us this morning to two more sub-disciplines that I want us to consider. We're going a little deeper now. It's going to cost you a little more to do these two. So write this one down. The fourth one is this, memorizing God's Word. Oh, there you go, Teresa. There you go. Everyone knows that this discipline is totally impossible for me because I am... What am I? Why can't I not memorize? I am old, right? Oh, yeah, everybody knows old people cannot memorize. It's true. I have a really bad memory. I feel like sometimes, you know, my memory is like a dark hole. And I know there's something in there, but I can't retrieve it. I have problems with names. Do you? What if I said to you this morning, I have a deal for you, Okay, here's my deal. I'm not giving this deal, by the way, but what if I did? What if I said to you, I will give each of you $1,000 for every verse you memorize by next Sunday. Do you think you would be able to memorize some scriptures? Do you? Yeah. Why? Well, you've got motivation. You've got motivation. Here's the truth. I want to just say this morning to us. We really can memorize scripture. We really can. But our problem is we're just not rightly motivated. Now, does everybody in here know their birthday? Yeah. Why? This is hard for me. Do you know the birthday of all your children and their spouses and your grandchildren? I know most of them. I don't know if I know all of them because I have so many. How many of you know your telephone number? Anybody? Everybody? Yeah. What about the names of your closest friends and your family? You know their names, don't you? How many of you did not get lost on your way to church this morning because you remembered the way to get to church, right? Well, that's proof. That's proof right there that you have a memory that is functioning. The question really is, are you willing to discipline yourself to do this? Now, here are some benefits for scripture memorization. Let's write them down. The first one is scripture memory is going to provide for us spiritual power. I wanted you to listen to Psalm 119.
Spiritual what?
Power. Power. Listen to Psalm 119:11. And the psalmist says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Memorizing God's word and putting it in your heart, it gives you added power when temptation comes against you. And that's because of Ephesians 6:17, which tells us that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. That's the part of Scripture that's talking about our spiritual armor. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is our defensive weapon. I can just say to you this morning, having God's Word hidden in your heart will make all the difference in fighting spiritual battles that come in our lives on this side of heaven. When we hide it in our hearts, it's there. And the Holy Spirit can bring it to our remembrance whenever it's needed. Let's write down another thing. And it's this. Memorization strengthens our faith. Let's walk through Proverbs 22:17-19 together this morning. And there we find this instruction. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you. All of them are ready on your lips, that your trust may be in the Lord. I've made known to you today, even to you. See, when I put God's word in my heart, it's there, and it's ready on my lips. And the result is, I will trust God. Look at this quote. I think I put it on your handout. Scripture memory is like reinforcing steel to a sagging faith. Let's go to a third reason, and let's write this down. Memorization prepares us for witnessing and counseling. Think about me with me this morning. Let's go back to the day of Pentecost. And Peter is preaching that day. And 3,000 people are going to get saved that day. And this comes in Acts 2. And what you're going to find about Peter is when he stands up to preach, his whole sermon is full of quotes from the Old Testament. He had put all of that in his heart way long back, and when he stood up on that day, it all came out, and 3,000 people were saved. What is coming out of your mouth every day as you have opportunity to share with people in your world? Look at Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Isn't that a beautiful word picture? And look at Proverbs 15:23. What a joy it is to find just the right word for the right occasion. I counseled a young lady one time. I didn't really know her very well, but she just called me one day and she asked if she could come talk to me. And we talked, and she was going through some things, and we had a good conversation. And then, months later, she had a close friend. Her close friend was going through a really terrible time. Her close friend was not in church, and she didn't really have the words to help her friend, but she remembered that day when she came to my house, and it helped her. And so she said, "Mr. Risa, would you meet with my friend?" Now, I didn't know her friend from Adam, had never met her friend. And so I said, "Yes, I'll meet your friend." So her friend came over, and we went into my bedroom. I have two little couches in my bedroom, and she sat on one side, and I sat on the other. And her story poured out very quickly, and I could see she was making very, very bad decisions. She had made many bad decisions in the past, and she was about to make some more very bad decisions. So as I listened to her, I'm just grieving in my heart for so many girls in our generation who just, they just don't have opportunity to hear God's word. They're not in church. They weren't raised in church. They weren't raised in God's ways. And they've made bad choices. And I'm just praying in my heart, "God, what am I going to say? What am I going to say?" So for the first half, I listened, asked questions, got through the whole story, and then it was my turn to talk. And God just gave me exactly what to say. It was such a neat experience. And I said, "You know what?" I said, "Life is like this. There are two roads in life. There's this really wide road, and most of the world is on that road. And that road leads to destruction. Everybody's doing the best they can on that road. They're just making decisions as best they can. But there's another tiny road, and it is a road that leads to life. And the ones who find that road go to life." And then I said, "You know, you're on the wide road, but I can help you to get on the narrow road." And I was able to share the gospel with her. But God gave me that word, and it was just like, I mean, it's in the Bible. You know what? I taught that, and I knew that. And it just was there. And at just the right time, it was there for me to use with her. Now, I don't know what decisions she made. She left my house that day, and she had a lot to think about. But as far as I was concerned, God had given me just the right word. It was like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Let's fill our mind with God's word so that it will come out and it will bring life to the people who are in our paths. Let's go to a fourth thing. Memorization gives us guidance. And let's look again at Psalm 119, and this time let's point out verse 24. And the psalmist says, "Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors." I've told you my story many times in Sunday school, from coming from a very dysfunctional past and not a lot of scriptural training or experience with godly people. And yet, as I got saved and I got into the Word of God for myself, do you know what happened? God's Word was my counselor. I think counselors are wonderful. But for me, I never really went to a counselor. I probably needed to. There were a lot of deep hurts and some things that needed working out. But you know what? God's word was sufficient. God's word was sufficient to heal me, to heal my heart, to heal the things in me that were broken and make me whole. God's word will be your counselor. It is like a guiding light that will light your way. All right, and then number five, let's write this. Memorization will stimulate meditation. You see, when you've got a verse of scripture and it's in you, then you can just meditate it anytime, day or night. We become like the psalmist. Look what he wrote in verse 97 of Psalm 119. He said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." You see, you've got it memorized. It's in your heart. And anytime you want, you can chew on that word. Do you know we're like sheep? And one thing sheep do is, I bet you didn't know this, they chew the curd. They ruminate. And you know what they'll do? They'll swallow it, and then later, as they're just kind of hanging out, they'll loop and chew on it some more. That's ruminating. That's kind of yucky to think about. But same picture for us. We're God's tender, precious lambs. And we have his word in our heart. And we can just loop, chew on it any time of the day if we've hidden it in our heart. You can be at Walmart standing in line. You can be in the line waiting to do parent pickup. You can be just driving your car, cleaning your house, rocking your brand new grandbaby or your new baby. And temptation hits you. You've got the word of God right there. Immediately it comes to your mind and it's your sword. This is something you and I really can do. I want to tell you about a man named Dawson Trotman. He's a man really of my generation. He founded an organization called the Navigators. The Navigators had a press. They did all kinds of books. Jerlene knows all about the Navigators. They published Bible studies. They had a Bible memorization plan that you could buy and you could use. Well, he got saved, and when he did, at that time, he was a young man, and he was driving a truck for a lumbering company in Los Angeles. And so he decided that every day he would memorize one verse for every day. And so as he was driving his truck, he would memorize one verse for the day. And during the first 3 years of his Christian life, he memorized 1,000 verses. And his life really impacted the kingdom of God. Now, here are some suggestions for you, and I think I put these on your handout. Write your verse that you're wanting to memorize or verses on an index card. So you write the verse out, and you look at it. You put it on your steering wheel. You put it on your bathroom mirror. You put it in your kitchen sink. And you're reviewing it over and over during your day. Another idea is to take that verse and make it visual. You know, if you're kind of artistic, draw some pictures to help you see the verse visually. Another thought is take that verse, memorize that verse, and try to memorize that verse word perfect. And then another good idea is be accountable to someone. And polish your sword often. That means review, review, review. Because if you don't use it, you will lose it, right? And a great time to do this review would be at the end of your Bible reading time in the morning or at night. You can do it while you're driving. You can do it while you're working out at the gym. You can do it at night when you get in the bed and you're falling asleep. Now let's go back to our theme verse that we started with this morning. Why is it that I really want to do this, Teresa? Is it so I can brag to you, oh, I've memorized 1,000 verses like Dawson Trotman? There ain't no way I'm going to memorize 1,000 verses. But it's not to see how many verses I can memorize. No, no. I'm going to discipline myself for the sake of godliness. Because I want to be godlike. I want to be like Jesus. Now, here comes the last one that I want to mention. That was Bible memorization. Now, here's number 5. And it's meditation on God's Word. And this is the one that I am most excited to talk about this morning, because I really believe that this is where the lack comes in most of our Bible intake. So, when you take a verse of the Bible, it'll probably take you about 2 seconds, 3 seconds to read a verse. And so I get up in the morning and I'm having my time with God. I'm going to get in His Word and I read a verse, 2 seconds, check that. Read a verse, 2 seconds, check that. I get through my verses. I'm done. I've read my Bible study. I've read my Bible verses. It's time to move on. But then I say to myself, now what did you just read? What was it you just read? Do you talk to yourself? I do. Well, Teresa, what did you just read, and what did it mean to you, and has it really made a difference? And I think, well, you know, I'm not growing like I wish I was. I want transformation to come, but what, you know, I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm getting up. I'm in the Word. I'm doing this. You know, what is the problem? And the problem's not really my method. I want to suggest maybe the problem is we're not meditating. We're failing to meditate on what we're reading. Let's begin by defining what I mean by meditation. Because meditation is something that's commanded by God. It's modeled by godly men and women in Scripture. Here's what I'm not talking about, because what do you, if I say meditation, what do you immediately think of? Yoga or transcendental meditation or some relaxation therapy or some kind of New Age practice. That's not what I'm talking about. Because those kinds of things try to get you into a state where you empty your mind and you're sort of in nothingness. But here's the definition that I want us to use to work with this morning. And I put this on your handout. Meditation, read it with me, is deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in Scripture, or upon life from a scriptural perspective, for the purposes of understanding, application, and prayer. This goes beyond hearing, beyond reading and studying, and even memorizing. Now, I'm going to give you a picture of what meditation is. Say I had a tea bag up here. How many of you like tea, hot tea? You know, you get a cup, and you've got your hot water in the cup. You unwrap your tea bag, and meditation, you know, what if I just dip it in one time and pull it right out? What kind of effect do I get in my tea? Not much. Maybe a little change of color. That's like hearing the word. Well, let me do 2 dips. 1, 2. That's like reading the word. Well, let me do study the word. 3 dips. 1, 2, 3. You know, I'm looking at my water. It's getting a little darker. But you know what meditation is? Meditation is steeping the tea bag. I put it in the water and I let the water absorb the full flavor of the tea bag. I think that's such a good picture, because when I get in God's Word and I meditate on it, it has this permeating effect in my life. For example, I know the Bible says that God loves His children, right? Jesus loves the little children. I know that. But it's when I sit in God's Word and I meditate on that truth that I become convinced God loves me. You see, I didn't have an earthly father that was very loving. He was an alcoholic. It took me a long time as a Christian woman to really believe God loved me like a father. I knew he loved other people. But it took me sitting in the Word of God and permeating that thought before it really became personally a reality to me. Let's go to Joshua 1:8. Moses has died now. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. And the Lord chooses Joshua and commissions him to take up the leadership of the nation of Israel. And Joshua's been chosen. He's going to lead the nation into the promised land. And these were exciting times. And Joshua was a godly man. I pray God would raise up some Joshuas in our generation to lead. Amen. I wish it would be one of my grandsons. I pray that all the time. Look what God told Joshua as he was giving him his commission. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead." This is God speaking. "Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful," now listen, "being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And this book of the law," this Bible, this Old Testament, "this word shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall," notice, "meditate on it." And notice how long. He says, I want you to meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In these verses, we see a relationship between meditating on God's word and true success. True success is promised to the one who will meditate on the Word of God, who will take time to think deeply on Scripture. And notice, it's not just at one time in your day. How often is it to be? It's to be day and night. All throughout your day, all throughout your night, the Word of God is coloring your conversations. Meditating on it is leading to your actions. You're doing what is written in the Word of God. It's just another way of saying you're carefully following in obedience. And the promise is God will grant you success. God will prosper you in your way. God blesses obedience. So meditation leads to obedience, and obedience results in God's blessing. I think so often that failure to meditate is our disconnect. We fail to linger in the Word of God, to take more than just 2 seconds to read a verse. Tom Watson was a great Puritan pastor. I put a quote by him on your handout. Let's read it together. The reason we come away so cold from reading the Word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. Well, we've seen that this week. It's been very cold. And you know how it feels. You've been outside and you're chilled to the bone, and you come in and you're shivering, and there's a big fire, and it's just crackling in the fireplace. And as you walk by it, you feel its warmth, right? But that's not meditation. Meditation is not just walking by the fire. Let me tell you what meditation is. It's what I love to do. We have a fireplace and we burn real wood. And it has a little ledge right in front. And I love to sit there. Now that means your robe is going to get burned and your clothes, whatever you're wearing, because you know it pops out, right? But you sit there until you can't stand it anymore and you're absolutely warmed to the bone. That's what meditation is. So, maybe you read your Bible every day, good books. We have a lot of information rushing through our eyes and ears every week. Those things are needful, but I'm just telling you, it's only the starting place. After you're exposed, you need to absorb it. So write this down. Meditation is the absorption of Scripture. And it's absorption of Scripture that will lead to experience with God and, write this down, the transformation of life that we long for when we come to the Word of God.
Would you repeat that again?
Yes. Meditation is the absorption of Scripture that leads to experience with God and the transformation of life that we long for when we come to the Bible. The psalmist that wrote Psalm 119, he was a cocky little guy. He was confident that he was wiser than all his enemies. He was confident that he was wiser than all his teachers. But what made him like this, Teresa? Well, let's read the answer. He says here, "Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." I believe meditation is harder for our generation than any other generation because of technology. We're so inundated with information, it's hard for us to separate and sit and steep in God's Word. We have all of these different distractions. Bill's grandparents lived a very simple life. They were born in the late 1800s. And they had no electricity for most of their married life. Later, they got electricity. Enough for like a few light bulbs. They didn't have TV. They didn't even have a radio. Information wasn't available to them unless they went to town on Saturday, because they lived way out in the country, down in a place called Soames Chapel in Pearl River County. You've been there. Bill's grandfather was an itinerant preacher, and he really never got paid much money. You know, they would tithe by giving you four chickens and a few this and potatoes, and they didn't have the distractions that we have. I think it's more difficult for us to concentrate, harder than ever. And the bottom line, it's going to require discipline, right? You're going to have to make some choices. It won't happen by accident. I'm teaching on Thursday mornings, the book of Genesis. And I've enjoyed that so much. But in the very beginning, after Adam and Eve were created before they fell. They walked with God every day in the cool of the day. And I love to think about that. God was saying, come walk with me. Come walk with me. Come be with me. Come fellowship with me. Come receive my word. And that's what God is saying to us. For it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Therefore, you and I have got to walk out of this room and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's going to take effort. It's going to take effort. Now, I hope you've been challenged to your toenails this morning. And I hope I've given you some things to think about. And let's pray that 2025 will be a year of great spiritual transformation. It's all connected, ladies, to the Word of God and how much you are in it. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray this morning for ourselves that the year that lies before us would be a year where we make choices to put our phones down and pick your word up. That we'll make choices to memorize it, to hear it, to study it, to read it, to memorize it, and to meditate on it. And we'll be like Joshua, who is thinking about you and your word day and night. And the result will be you will give us great success. You'll cause our lives to be blessed. And Father, help us to be useful to you in our generation. And help us, Father, to discipline ourselves. And then we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm so glad you were here. See you next week.
My best friend.